Good morning, everyone.
Good
morning. A very big thank you to Peter Lloyd, our moderator, for taking our service this morning. We have church meeting straight after worship this morning, and then lunch will follow that. So please stay. Joy's been hard at work, and everything looks absolutely wonderful. July newsletter is available. I think there's copies in the foyer if you would like a hard copy. 7:30 is house group Tuesday night, so please join us for that. It is a standalone one, so you can just bob in and out as you like. And I think we'll find it very enlightening each week, don't we? Wednesday, 10 a.m. coffee morning. Got a seven. It's not deacons again this week, is it? No. Oh, that's all right then. Just confused me a bit. Saturday morning is the prayer meeting within the church, 9:30. If you come in via the side entrance, it was a fantastic one last month. So if you are able to come, please come along and support it. And next Sunday, it's Paul Greenaway taking our service. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you and good morning. And it's always good to be here. I do feel a little overdressed, actually. I wish I'd put my T-shirt and shorts on this morning, but never mind. It's a beautiful morning, and it was a beautiful drive out of Gretton this morning. And, you know, we have so much to be so grateful to God for. I'd like us to be quiet for a moment. I'm going to read to you a prayer, and it's a Celtic prayer. So I would like us just to be still and know the presence of God. I arise to life today. I arise to light and love. I arise to life today through the love of God above. I arise to life today in the power of the Creator adored. I arise to life today through Christ our risen Lord. I arise to life today with energy for each hour. I arise in life today in the Holy Spirit's power. Christ risen in glory, scatter the darkness from our path. Christ risen in glory, lift the heaviness from our hearts. Christ risen in glory, dispel the troubles from our minds. Christ risen in glory, take the weariness from your world, and we will serve you in love, in joy and light, in peace. Alleluia. Amen. I'm going to sing a couple of songs, and one of them is a great hymn and perfect for this morning. It's Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
will remain standing. We sing Before the Throne of God Above. Let's let go of everything that's bothering us, everything that's causing anxiety, anything that's giving us nervousness. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have guided us through the week. We thank you that you have been there when we've laughed and when we've cried. We thank you that you are always with us, and you know the things that trouble us this morning. And we place them all into your hands. And we ask that you fill us with your peace. Amen. I wonder how many of you ever get confused. There we go. Yes. How many? See, I am reaching, well, I have reached that age where I stride into a room and think, what am I coming here for? What am I doing? In fact, I'm beginning to live in a permanent state of confusion. And, you know, it's not just things like that. It's where I write a note to myself and then I come to it later and think, what does that mean? Why did I write that? Or I write something in my diary and I don't write it on the calendar. Now, in our household, not to write something on the calendar is the most heinous of crimes, unless it's my wife who hasn't written it on the calendar. But there are times when I write something in my diary and I don't write it on the calendar, and I think, or I write it on a different date in the calendar, and I think, which is right? Have I got something on this date or have I not? Am I the only person who does this? but you know, there are a lot of things that do help to confuse us. Signposts and notices can often say the most confusing things. Seth, if we could have the next one. Oh no. There. Crocodiles. Do not swim here. Now, when I read that, I looked at that and I thought I'd go swimming in there and I probably wouldn't come out again. But I would go swim, because to me it says crocodiles do not swim here. And so I think, oh, that's fine, I'll jump in. But other people might look at it and think it says crocodiles do not swim here. But there are other notices, I'm hoping. Are there other notices there, Seth? There are. There you go. I did see the one that said right lane must right left. I did actually see that one somewhere and I thought, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. Can we have the next one as well then, please, Seth? There we go. One that's so confusing that it actually says good luck. And, you know, the notices can be a little bit confusing. And when we think about our future, our individual future, and when we pray about carer's future, it can be a bit confusing because we're not sure which way to turn. But you know, it's not confusing to God. He's not looking at Carey Baptist Church and thinking, oh, what's the right thing to do with Carey Baptist? What shall I do with them? He knows exactly the path that he has for you and for Carey Baptist. And while it may seem confusing to us at times because his ways are far greater than ours, God is not confused. He knows exactly his plans for you. We can have the next passage there, please, Seth. And that's what we need to remember. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. God says, be not afraid, I go before you always. So he knows what Carey Baptist will look like in a year's time. He has gone before you. In your own life, if you're a bit confused and you're not sure which way to turn, or you're going down a particular path and you're saying, Lord, why am I going this way? God's promise is, be not afraid. I go before you. He's gone that path that you're treading before you. And he knows the plans he has for you. I'd like to be quiet a moment. And let's remember whose presence we're in. And let's remember his promise to us. Heavenly Father, I thank you that no matter how confusing things may look to us, you go before us always. No matter sometimes how confusing the indications may seem to us, you go before us always. Those times when we can't see the way ahead, you go before us always. And I thank you so much for Carey Baptist Church and for the things that you have done in this place over many, many years. The people who you have raised up over many, many years. The witness that Carey Baptist has been to people for many, many years. And we lay it before you and we pray that you will take us forward from this time without fear or confusion, but just holding on to you. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, stay seated. I'm going to sing the next song, which I hope you know. which is to be in your presence. God's presence. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are always in your presence. Sometimes we don't realize it, sometimes we forget, but we are always in your presence. And we want to draw near to you today, to know your presence among us. We want to bring before you the things which trouble us, the things on our hearts, the people who we know who are struggling, the situations that we're facing. Lord, we want to lift them to you. And we want to lift to you those of other people. We pray for all that's going on in Ukraine and Russia that just is so wrong. And we pray that you will bring peace to those troubled countries. Where there is evil, we pray that you will bring good. Where there are hearts of stone, we pray that you'll give a heart of flesh. And we pray that you will bring peace to those countries. We pray for other countries in the world where there is trouble, in Somalia, parts of Nigeria. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bring peace. Afghanistan. Lord Jesus, we pray you'll bring peace. We pray too for countries in this world where to be a Christian could mean death. We pray for Christians in North Korea, in parts of India. Lord Jesus, we pray for those Christians there, we pray that they will have faith and that their walk with you will deepen. We pray too for our own country. Lord, we think of the things which have gone on over the last few years which shouldn't have gone on, where there has been dishonesty. And loving Lord Jesus, we pray that you will raise up Christians to serve in Parliament. Christians who will stand with strength and integrity and truth. Christians who will stand for your word. And we pray, Lord, that this nation will become a Christian nation once again. We pray that you will raise up Christians throughout this land, Christian leaders in all walks of life, but we think particularly of churches and children's groups. Loving Lord Jesus, we pray that you will raise up your name, your banner in this country once again. that this will be a Christian nation where your name, your church, is revived. And may that begin with us. And in these moments of silence now, we want to bring in our hearts to the things and the people who we know who are troubled. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you hear our cries, that you are a God who answers prayer. Amen. Can we take up the offering, please? It's what, sorry?
We have a retiring
offering. Oh, we have a retiring offering. Okay, that's confused everyone. So if you weren't confused when you came in and got more confused by those signs, That's fine. Okay, well, now I'm going to tell you that normally when I go to a different church, as in, I don't mean that you're different, but a church which is not my own, I will quite often pray and then I will have a look in old sermons and I will usually come out with something that, and I think, yeah, that's the one. That's the one for this church this Sunday. I did not do that this week. Because what happened was I was in a Bible study. We have one of the best parts of my week is Bible study in Costa in Uppingham on a Monday morning. And it is such a great way to start the week. And there are four of us men who are there and two of them are fairly new Christians and they're just so hungry. And we're there in Costa and we drink nice Costa coffee and it's just wonderful. But we're going through Luke's gospel and I saw something there that I'd never really seen before and it hit me straight away. This is what God wants to say to Carey Baptist Church this Sunday. And so what you are about to hear is not a reshaped sermon that I've used before. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I think it was Wesley reckoned that he didn't get the best out of a passage until he preached the sermon 20 times. But this is for you today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to flit around between in Luke's gospel a bit, because rather than there being one reading which I will take, I'm going to pick a few readings from Luke's gospel because there is a very powerful, strong message in there. And I'm going to start it in Luke chapter 9, verse 28. I'm going to anyway. I'll read it to you. And you'll recognize this because this is about the transfiguration. It says, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him up onto a mountain to pray. And the thing that then I think about is, why those three? Why did Jesus only take those three up the mountain? What about the other nine? And there they were. They went up on top of the mountain and they had the most incredible experience, where they saw Moses and Elijah. Now I'll tell you, I've only ever met one or two famous people and I've been completely tongue-tied. I haven't known what to say to them at all. I once met Martin Johnson, who was the England rugby captain when they won the World Cup. And I remember just standing there and I had no idea what to say to him. And he was so friendly, but I was like, just couldn't think of anything to say. And here are these three disciples on top of a mountain with Jesus, with Moses and Elijah, who were the great heroes, if you like, of the Old Testament. These were people who were held in such a high esteem by the Jews. And there are these three disciples, and there's Jesus, and they hear the voice of God, and Moses and Elijah are there. And Peter has got to do something. So he says, oh, we'll build some shelters. Don't know why, but he's got to do something, because Peter is like that. He's the one who got to do something when they arrested Jesus, so he lopped off some poor guy's ear. Peter is the one who, when Jesus had risen from the dead and they'd had a couple of appearances from Jesus, said, let's go fishing. He's got to do something. But why not those other nine? And you see, God, the first thing that I feel really is that God will reveal himself to us in ways that we can cope with. I wonder if you've ever read or anything or a book or a Christian magazine or a testimony of something where they've had the most incredible experience and you think, well, I've been a Christian for like 30 years and that's never happened to me. I remember reading a book and it was called 9 o'clock in the morning. Has anyone ever read that book? Good. Because I was going through a very difficult patch in my Christian life. I was struggling, and this guy was having miracles happening every day. And he would just pray for a parking space, and a parking space would appear. And I thought, oh, I'll try that. So I drove into Stratford-on-Avon on a Saturday afternoon during the tourist season. I drove around for hours, wasting all the petrol I can. And I was so crying, I couldn't work it out. But you know, God will only reveal himself to us in ways that we can cope with. And it could be that these three disciples were ready for something like this and the other nine weren't. Didn't mean that they were any less spiritual, but it's just not the way they were at that time. And so if sometimes you are thinking, well, why does this never happen to me? Why does this never happen in our church? It may be that God is just saying, well, you're not ready for that yet. I'm with you, and I don't love you any the less. But I am with you. But you are not ready for this yet. But then what happened in verse 37 says, the next day when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child. And this is where these people, they'd come down and they get to the bottom, the three disciples and Jesus, and the other nine, there's complete chaos. Because we're told this man who's got his son, who's throwing himself around in convulsions, and he says that the disciples couldn't do anything about it. They didn't know what to do. And so they've come down from the mountain. Now, you may have mountaintop experiences sometimes. Perhaps you've been on a Christian convention. Perhaps you've been to an amazing service in church. Perhaps you've just read your Bible and you're just thinking, wow, this is wonderful. And then somebody comes to bang on your door and complain about where you've parked the car, or you get somebody on the phone who's pretending to be somebody that they're not, and you end up getting more and more irritated because you've gone back into the real world. And that's what happened here. They've come back and they've come into the real world. But worse is to follow, because in verse 46... we're told an argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. So you've got the 12 disciples. You've got three of them who've been up on top of the mountain, and they've come down, and there they are having an argument as to who is the greatest. Now, we don't know the details about this, but I could imagine James and John and Peter saying, well, look, you didn't come up the mountain. We did. Shame about you, because you've got yourself in a right hash down here with this poor guy who needs his son healed. And can you believe it? Pride, creeping in. I was watching, we went to the cinema on Friday, which is something my wife and I very rarely do, but there was a Christian film showing in Corby Cinema called The Jesus Revolution. Has anyone heard of it? Well worth going to see, because it's a true story about what happened in the 60s. Now, I can feel really quite... I can actually feel quite pleased here, because I don't remember the 60s. I am still too young. I grew up in the 60s, and I remember people talking about flower power, but I didn't really know what any of that was. And the 60s to me was starting school and having cheese pie for lunch, my first school dinner. But I don't really remember much about the 60s, but apparently there was this amazing Christian revolution that took place amongst all the hippies in California. Do any of you remember this? Or who's going to admit to remembering this? Yes. And what happened was, there was a church that was being run by a guy, and everybody sat there in suits and ties, but there were not many people that went to that church at all. And it was dying, and the minister didn't really know what to do. And then one day a hippie turned up, and he came to the church and he spoke, and people were outraged. And the next week they showed that the church was divided like you are now, with an aisle down the middle, and on one side were all the people in their shirts and ties, and on the other side were all the hippies. And they were going, yeah, far out. And yeah, man, I dig. And all things like that, all through the sermon. It just makes me cringe now, really. But that's what... And they were loving it. And eventually, the people who sat on the one side went to the minister and said, either they go or we go. And the minister, on the Sunday, realised what he'd got to do. And he said... No matter who you are or where you're from, the door is open for you. And he said to the... And if you are someone who's been coming to church for a long time, the door is also open to you. And they got up and they walked out. Except for one old man who got up, and he looked like he was going to walk out, but he didn't. He went, walked across, and he sat down next to the hippies in the middle of them and said, I'm with you. And it was a very moving moment. But what happened apparently was that this movement grew, thousands of people being baptized, young people. Wouldn't we long for that now? We've got no young people in our church. Wouldn't we just love that now? But thousands of young people all across America were giving their life to Jesus. But what happened was, the minister and the sort of leading pastor, who was a hippie, fell out. And they fell out because they both had got inflated ideas about what was going on. The minister said to this hippie pastor, I could stop you immediately. He said, I've brought you into this, and I could take you out of this immediately if I wanted. And the hippie pastor was saying, you can't survive without me. This movement will stop without me. And they both lost track of who was really moving, that the Holy Spirit was moving, and pride had come in. And that is what was happening here with the disciples. But it's well worth seeing that film if you get the opportunity. And so they were puffed up with pride. And then in verse 51, we have, they went to a town, a village, a Samaritan village. And the people there did not receive Jesus. So when the disciples, James and John, who've been up the mountain, James and John, who were called the Sons of Thunder and a bit like the sort of disciple mafia, But they've got no idea about the grace that Jesus was preaching, because they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" They've been up the mountain with Jesus. They've got involved in debates about who is the greatest among them. And then they're saying, "Lord, let's destroy this village." And what's the point of all of this? The point of all of this is that when we walk with Jesus, it's got to make a difference to us. If walking with Jesus makes no difference to the way that we live our lives, we may as well give up. We used to talk about in Gretton about, we've got to get people to start coming to church. And then we realized it's not about coming to church. It's about coming to Jesus. Why? Because coming to Jesus will make a difference in our lives. And if coming to church, if our prayers, if reading our Bible makes no difference to us, then something has gone very wrong. I want you to remember about when you first got baptized. My baptism was about 40 plus years ago. And I don't remember too much about the occasion, but what I do remember is the peace that I felt afterwards. And it did change my life. I still need a lot of changing. I can still get cross with other drivers. But you see, those people in that film who sat on the one side and said, "We don't want the hippies in here," they were coming to church regularly. They were going to Bible study. They were looking the part. But they were not allowing Jesus to make a difference to them. And this is so important for you people of Carey, because I don't know what the future holds for you, but as we know, God alone does. But if you are going to be open to whatever he wants to do in you and through you, you have got to be open to let him move within you and to change you in every way. Otherwise, there is no point in coming to church. Otherwise, church is just like any secular organization. Are you open to let Jesus change you again from this moment and change your life again from this moment? Say 30 hippies walked into church next week. Would you be ready? Wouldn't it be great? But there may be other ways that you know you've got sticking points. Are you open to let Jesus do whatever he wants to do in you, so that you're not just coming to church, listening to the prayers, singing some nice songs, going away, reading your Bible, 2 minutes later, forgotten what you've read? We can all go through patches in our lives like that. I have. I will do again. But am I willing to change so that those times become fewer and further between? I hope so. For you to accept, for you to receive what Jesus wants for Carey Baptist Church, He will want to change you so that you are ready for it. And he will want to reveal himself to you in new ways when you're ready for it. Are you ready to go forward? Are you ready to allow him to do whatever he wants to do in you and in Carey Baptist Church from this moment? To remember that love that you had for him when you were first baptized. How when you were first baptized, you'd have done anything. You'd have walked on glass if Jesus said to, barefoot. Are you ready again to let him change you again as he takes Carey Baptist Church forward? I'd like to be quiet. And I'd like you to respond in prayer however you need to today. It may be that there are areas of your life that you know you're holding on to. It may be that you know that you have been just coming to church in the recent months or years and you haven't allowed Jesus really in to let him do whatever he wanted to do in you. It may be that you've lost your first love that you had for him. It may be that you've got a part of you that is saying, Lord Jesus, you must do whatever you want to do in Carey Baptist, but not that. It may be today that you're just really ready to go forward. Ready to let go of anything that comes between him and you and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want what you want. This is your time to pray. Lord Jesus, there is no one like you. There is no one like you. And I pray for us all, Lord, that we will be open and willing to follow you. Open to know you and to know your call. Open to put our preferences to one side and go where you lead. Open to serve you as you want to use us to serve you. And when we find that hard, help us to trust in you and you alone. Amen. So we're going to sing our final song, which is Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
And so as we go now, I bless you in Jesus' name with his peace in your hearts, with his rest in your lives, and a deepening awareness of his presence in all you do. Amen.